And now onto a different style of baking. Here in Southern California, we barely have two seasons, temperate and hot, or maybe this year, rainy and dry. But in Norway, there are five seasons, each with their own mood, seasonal ingredients, and festivals. Nevada Berg married into Norway and has used food as a way of exploring its heart from her farm in the gorgeous countryside. Her second book is Norwegian Baking, Through the Seasons. Hi.
Hi, Evan.
Where are you from and how did you end up in Norway?
Oh my gosh, it's such a story. But I am originally from the U.S. I'm born and raised in Salt Lake City, in Utah, family from Colorado. And just kind of, I met my husband at university in England, and he's Norwegian. That's my connection. And we traveled and we lived kind of all over. We lived in Mozambique, and again, we stayed in England a bit longer, and then we lived in Rome before we decided we wanted to kind of settle down and have some roots. So we thought, well, let's try Norway, because we hadn't been there yet.
That's just amazing. And his family is in Norway.
Yes. Yeah, they're from Bergen, which is on the west coast.
And for people who don't already follow you, describe where in the country you live. Kind of give us a picture of the farm and its surroundings.
We live in what is called Numedal, which is translated to valley, and it is the medieval valley of Norway, meaning it has the most medieval buildings in all of Norway. We have four stave churches. It's a farmland, so we're very rural. We have 1,400 people in our town, I should say village. We live about a two-hour drive from Oslo, the capital. And we're about 5 hours from Bergen. So we're kind of right between the two, right in the mountains. It's this kind of dreamy landscape, very lush, very overgrown, kind of the hidden gem, if you will. And it's beautiful. And the river running through the valley with these mountains. And it's just a really calm, peaceful, relaxing place to be.
Did you imagine you would end up on a farm?
No. I was always in the city. I've always lived in the capital. We lived in the capital cities. And I still love the city, of course. But of growing up in Salt Lake and my family being from Colorado, always loved the mountains as well. And when we lived in Rome before we moved here, we just kind of had been doing the whole city thing and decided we really wanted to be able to start growing our own vegetables and just, I think, having a bit of a closer relationship to nature and making food in that way. And so that's where the idea of maybe getting a small farm kind of came from. And that's when we kind of knew we were going to be moving to Norway. And we thought, well, this is the perfect time. Let's look to see if we can find one. And it just so happened that there was this one available and we were able to kind of move in. And it's just, you know, it's this quaint little lovely place with a few outdoor buildings that are very old. It's from the 17th century. It's very charming. And so I'm very grateful for it.
Your first book was North Wild Kitchen, Cooking from the Heart of Norway. And now you've written a stunner of a baking book. Do you remember the first Norwegian baked specialty you tried?
Oh, yes. I have such fond memories because it was on my first trip to Norway and Bergen to visit my husband's family. And they took me into the city, into the town, in the heart of it, which is kind of the wharf. And Bergen is a Germanic city, and it's an absolute gorgeous place. And they're famous for their like cinnamon buns, and they call them Schillingsbolla. And so they're like, his mom said, this is the first thing, you have to have this. So I have this deep connection with being in Norway, being out there by the sea, the water, the sun was shining down, having this delicious bolla. And it was so simple. And I think that's what's really nice about the Norwegian baked goods. You know, it has nothing gooey over top of it. It's just literally cinnamon and sugar, you know, wrapped inside. It's simple, it's delicate, but it's so good. And so that kind of kept with me all those years and all the years we were traveling. Every time I go back to Bergen, I always get a Schillingsbolla.
One of the things I really love about the Norwegian sort of baking side of the kitchen is not only the simple cakes and simple buns, but the dried things, the dried crunchy things like the rusks and the crackers. Could you talk a bit about the love of these kind of more dry, austere things and describe them a bit?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. I would say the foundation of baking, in a sense, goes back to flatbreads in Norway, which are just really large flat crackers, because in the old days, we didn't have the ability to store grain. And so what they would do is they would use what they had to quickly make something over the heat, these crackers that they could store over the long winters, because the winters here are incredibly harsh. And you, if you didn't have food over the winter, you would starve, which is why you also get a lot of the preservation techniques like of grovlox and these sorts of things. And so the breads, they kind of evolved from that. It started with flatbread. It was a way to just preserve and to have some sort of substance throughout these times. And then they would rehydrate. And then from that, you would get then lefse and more soft flatbreads. But also in that you have the thing like the rusks, which are the more thicker crackers. And those are also things just to last and to preserve. And I think it's such a beautiful showcase of the food culture that they were very smart in how they used what they the ingredients that they had during the seasons to make sure that they had food throughout the year.
Could you describe the one cracker that's a bit more luxurious, the caraway and Jarlsberg cracker?
Yes. Well, this is kind of a play on when I was up traveling one summer in Norway. There's a particular part kind of in the middle area near Trondheim that's famous for their caraway that's growing there. It's cultivated, but it also grows wild here. And they were having these crackers with it in there. And I just was really inspired. And I thought, oh, it'd be so fun to make a cracker and then have that little, you know, that cheese boost in there. And we'll use Jarlsberg, which is one of Norway's most famous cheeses, and give it kind of this contrast between this sweet nutty flavor and this, like, you know, that strong burst of the caraway. And so that's kind of where those ones came from. It's kind of a fun play on of that memory I have being up in those caraway fields.
It's hard to talk about Norwegian baking and not talk about lefse. You know, here in Southern California, we have almost no Norwegian food culture here. It's very, very difficult to find lefse. Could you describe what it is and what are some of the variations? Because I believe in the book there are 5 different lefse recipes.
Yeah, and I think one day I'll have to do a full book on lefse and it will be 1,000 pages. There's so many variations. But what I love about lefse is when I share a recipe, I'll get people from all over the world and from California. And because I think you see it and you immediately relate to it, a lot of people will think tortilla or, you know, something else, another type of soft flatbread, because that's what it is in a sense. It's a soft flatbread. And there's 2 main types. Originally, the lefse came from flatbread itself, the hard cracker. And that was made with just a flour base, flour and water, and then maybe a few other ingredients. And later, when the potato came into the country, you have these potato variations. So there's 2 types. And I think most people outside of Norway know the potato lefse version. But there are so many. And it depends where you are in the country, the region, and then you go down to the town, and then you go down to the village, and then you go down to the neighbor, and everyone has their own, and everyone thinks that theirs is the best. And in our valley here, ours is known as kling, and kling is like, it looks like a very large tortilla, and it's the same kind of thickness, maybe even a bit thinner. And it's usually 2 of those, and then it's got this beautiful kind of butter cream spread in the middle between the 2 slices. And it's just kind of when you eat it, it melts in your mouth. Versus if you go across to the west part of Norway, it's thicker. You might have cinnamon and butter in the middle. And, you know, other places may have the brown cheese sauce filled in the middle. Some will use eggs. Some it's butter. Some it's made with margarine. Some have cream in it. Some don't. Some only have, you know, certain types of flours, rye or barley. Some it's all purpose. So it just depends where you go. But it really is this kind of flatbread that's transformed into a really lovely delicacy that is typically served, you know, with coffee in the afternoon. But it can also be a savory thing where you wrap lots of little lovely savory ingredients inside as well.
brown cheese. Brown cheese is such a funny, strange thing to many of us. And you use it in very interesting ways. Give me one way that you use it that you think will entice people to get some brown cheese.
Okay, yeah, I absolutely adore brown cheese. It's the most iconic Norwegian cheese that you can get. And what makes it so nice is that it can be used in both sweet and savory ways because it has this kind of caramel-like flavor to it, but it can also be kind of salty. So it blends for both. In the book, I do a recipe where we make the Norwegian pancake, which is a very thin, almost crepe-like, just a bit more egg pancake. And then we take the summer strawberries and I make a brown cheese caramel sauce, which is so good. It's almost like a dulce de leche. It's taking a basic caramel and you add that in. But what it does is it gives this incredible like flavor burst and depth that you wouldn't get in normal. But it doesn't come out as just a cheese. It just has this amazing melting property as well because it basically is, it's whey that's been cooked down for so long that it caramelizes and turns into that brown color. And so it melts again really, really well. But I definitely love to turn it into a caramel sauce. They'll go with anything. And then for savory dishes, I throw it on a burger and then I add in lingonberry or like a cranberry bacon jam. And it's so good. So I think what's fun about it is think of it like a caramel or that kind of flavor. And then you add it into your baking and then you'll see. Or throw a slice or two into a rich stew. Like a beef stew or a wild stew, and then you'll just see how good it is. Or just pop it onto a waffle, and it's just so good. It's so good.
I think your job is done with enticing us. Thank you so much, Nevada. This has been really fun.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
That was Nevada Berg, author of Norwegian Baking Through the Seasons. We've got a recipe for her thin pancakes with strawberries and brown cheese caramel on our website. Coming up, two stories about our globalized food system. We look at the past and the present to question what we've done and what we might do next.